Welcome back to the Rehab for Runners podcast. I'm Dr. Lisa, and today we have a special interview with a dietitian that is going to walk you through exactly what you should be eating before your run, during your run, and after your run. If you want to improve your performance, then this episode is for you. I'm not going to lie, selfishly, I loved this podcast because there were so many things that I learned from it, even as someone who felt like they knew a decent amount about nutrition and fuel. So I can't wait to get started. Before we get started, though, make sure you follow Amy on Instagram at @the_running_dietitian. I will also link it below in the show notes.
Welcome to Rehab for Runners, the podcast for runners who are ready to get out of pain and run with more confidence. Dr. Lisa will guide you with the clarity you need to unleash your potential with tools, practical tips, and exercises so you can enjoy your runs and exceed your goals.
Welcome to the Rehab for Runners podcast, Amy.
Thanks so much for having me, Lisa.
I'm so excited for today's episode. We were talking before, but I was just telling you how pretty much selfishly I can't wait to learn more about fueling because I feel like I've just scratched the surface with fueling and it's like opened up a whole different world. So I want to just start by asking you, what is the importance of fueling pre-run, during a run, and then like after a run?
Really, it's to give your body the tools it needs to perform, recover, and the fact that you're not just a runner, you have other things going on in your life that you want to be able to be energized for. So it's really to help with all of those aspects.
Are you finding that when runners start to fuel, it's like a mindset shift? Like, I'm an athlete, I'm not viewing myself as like a quote recreational runner, but I see myself as an athlete. I'm asking because that's like the mindset shift I had last year training for the marathon. And I was just like, well, if I am an athlete, like going back to my athlete days, then I need to fuel like one. And then it was like, you know, that really just helped me improve my performance.
Yeah, I definitely think it can help you take better care of your body, not just with nutrition, but like doing the strength training, the stretching, the rolling, like all of those things that can make a difference. And yeah, really just seeing yourself as an athlete, and you don't need to run a certain pace or run a certain distance. Like if you run, you can consider yourself an athlete.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. And I wish every runner understood that and believed that, because Yes. It really does make a difference. You view everything differently. At least that's what I see. So let's start with like a wide angle lens. If someone is thinking, okay, I maybe should start fueling, when do you, like either it's pre-run, during the run, or after the run, like what are your guidelines? Like what would you recommend when someone starts considering fueling or starting to dabble with some fueling?
I think that goes back to, it doesn't matter like what you're training for, the distance you're running, like fuel can make a difference. Like you can go for a 2 mile run, run it fasted, and feel like absolute crap during it because your body just didn't have the carbs ready to go to fuel your muscles, fuel that performance. And then of course, if you're training for a long distance race, it is going to make a difference. It might feel like, yeah, the fueling for the marathon feels way different and there's more at stake versus fueling for a 5K. But it's important to know that regardless of the distance, the pace, like it can make a difference for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen that in my own training, and I'm sure you see it all the time, where you can pretty much gain speed just by fueling correctly.
Yes.
And you can run and feel good at the finish line just by fueling correctly.
Yes. I had a client that would never fuel before 30 minutes run. She's like, I don't need to. It's just 30 minutes. And she was an early morning runner. And I kind of pushed her. I'm like, can we try it? Like, if it doesn't make a difference, like, who cares? Like, you don't need to do it, but let's try it a couple times. And she came back to me and she's like, you were right. Like, I didn't realize like my morning was kind of like sluggish. She's like, I didn't think I was feeling sluggish, but now that I'm fueling before, and she was fueling after the run, but now that she was fueling before, she was able to like have more energy readily available for her run, that she didn't dip as low during the run. So it wasn't trying to claw her way out as much. And so, yeah, even for those 30-minute runs, like the pre-run fuel can make a big difference.
Yeah, definitely. So if I'm a morning runner, I wake up, I'm not necessarily hungry. What would your recommendation be for fueling in terms of like the timing of fueling and then just like examples of what I could use as fuel?
It can be a little tricky because there's going to be a lot of factors at play about how long are you running for? Is it a speed workout? Is it an easy run? And I think the biggest factor is going to be how much time do you have between when you wake up and when you start that run? If you have 15 minutes and you're someone that their stomach is a little bit more sensitive to that fuel, it's going to cut back on your options on what you can do. But if that is you, I always recommend using the during the run fuel options that you know already work for you and having it right as you head out the door. You know your body is already used to digesting and absorbing it on the run, that you're going to be perfectly fine to have it right before. And you might need to potentially bring fuel on a run that you normally wouldn't. We'll say you're running for an hour. You typically don't fuel on that, but if you're struggling with eating enough before, like bringing some of those during the run fuel options, having something to tide you over to prevent hunger, to prevent fatigue, help performance can be beneficial.
Yeah, definitely. That's such a good tip. I mean, I just think first thing I think of is like Honey Stinger waffles or mm-hmm. wafers, whatever they're called. Yes. And like they digest easily with me. And that was like my first like dabble into fueling was, well, I might as well just take one before because I know it works. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think that's such a great tip because then it doesn't even matter if you're taking it a minute before your run. It doesn't have to be like a whole timing of take it exactly 30 minutes so everything digests and then you can head out the door.
Yes, because we know when runners are waking up and starting their run at like 4 or 5 a.m., like asking them to get up another 30 minutes earlier to have their fuel digest, it's not going to happen. So it's about figuring out what are those options that can work best for you. And I've even had clients that like products like Honey Stinger waffles, applesauce pouches, and I'm like, keep it on your nightstand table right next to your bed. So as soon as your alarm goes off, like start eating it. I know you're probably not going to want to do that first thing, but that can also give your body a little bit more time because then you still have to get dressed, go to the bathroom, put on shoes, that it can just give yourself maybe an extra 15 minutes, which might be all you need.
Yeah, definitely. So, and we talked a little bit about fueling, but I'm just going to dabble into some hydration. Obviously, it's good to drink water when you first wake up, but do you recommend drinking electrolytes before you run, even if it's a shorter run and it's hot out? Like what's your stand on pre-run electrolytes?
Typically, the guideline for pre-run electrolytes is anything over 60 minutes, you should try and get something in. Also remembering, depending on your pre-run fuel, you could be getting a good amount of sodium from that as well. And then it's also taking into effect the weather. So is it going to be super hot, super humid, even at like 5 or 6 a.m.? Yeah, then trying to get in 8 to 16 ounces of an electrolyte drink would be beneficial.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, so let's talk about fuel during the run. This is something where I'm like, I'm taking notes on this because it helps so much, but you can't help but think, well, you know, if I just learned this, like what else do I not know about fueling? If it helped me this much, what else can it help me with? So let's talk just about like an easy run. Say someone's training for a marathon for the first time. What would be your recommendation for fueling? And then what are like some of your favorite brands or ways that you can fuel?
So when it comes to a marathon, it is really going to depend on what is your estimated finish time, about how many grams of carbs you should be aiming for per hour. Typically, it's going to be anywhere from like 60 to 90 plus grams of carbs per hour. So if you are new to during the run fuel, you might be like, oh my gosh, like feeling overwhelmed already, but you need to train your gut to be able to handle that amount. So it's not starting with the 90 grams and going from there. It's starting with, let's even try maybe just taking one gel every, or whatever product you want to use, every 30 or even starting every 45 minutes and then seeing how your body tolerates that and then progressing from there. And I will say too, if somebody, I'm starting to work with somebody and they have a marathon in the next 4 months and they're like brand new to pre-run fueling, what I'm going to recommend is to try fuel on the shorter run. So you're running 5 miles. Typically, you're not going to need a gel, but I want to try out this fuel for the very first time on a shorter run because sometimes they cause GI issues, stomach upset. I don't want that happening during your one long run of the week. I would rather it happen during a 3 to 4 mile run. It's not ideal, but it feels like less crappy of a situation when it's on that shorter run if you have to stop early.
Oh, that's such a good tip. I wish I knew that last year because, yeah, like you go for a long run, especially if you're with the training team and you're just like, where's the bathroom? Like,
yes.
Where's the closest grocery store? And then you're just, it really does mess up your like mindset. You're no longer running with your group, or it can just really ruin how you're feeling for the rest of the long run. And that's your most important run if that's your, you know, if you're training for that race. So would you say, you said 60 to 90 grams of carbs. Is that during the race or during training runs or both?
It's going to be both because thinking about your training runs, you're not just training your legs to be able to handle that distance on race day. It's also your opportunity to train your gut to be able to figure out where within those guidelines, or as I found with some clients, it's outside of the recommended guidelines that their body needs to be in order to like be fueled.
Gotcha. Wow. Training your gut. That's something I did not know that we had to do.
Yes.
But it makes sense when you say it.
It does. Because yeah, it's taking the fuel can feel unnatural. And like your body wants to shift blood flow away from your stomach, that if you go too long without fuel, all of a sudden that can cause GI issues if you're taking it on a quote unquote empty stomach. So that's why starting from the beginning of the run and fueling frequently is very important.
Gotcha. Okay. So 60 to 90 grams of carbs. What are some examples of what that looks like? Cause like, I just think like, I just take maybe 2 gels an hour. Like, I don't know if that's even 60 to 90 grams of carbs, to be honest.
Yes. And it can depend so much on the product that you're using. So whatever product that you want to start with, what I would do is I would take a look at the nutritional label, see what the serving size is. This is especially important with like chews, because is it 3 chews or is it like the whole packet of 8 chews that you have to take, and then see how many grams of carbs it's providing. I recently found the Crank Sports E-Gel. It is like my new favorite like product I'm obsessed with. And it has 37 grams of carbs per gel. So if I could easily take that at 30, 60 minutes, every 30 minutes during the run and be close, I'm going to have to do like over 70 grams of carbs per hour just from doing that. Versus if I wanted, like I used to love using applesauce pouches during the run. I don't use them as much anymore because they don't give me the amount of carbs I need. But with that, I would have to take like 5 of those an hour to get roughly the same amount of carbs as what those 2 gels are giving me.
Wow. Wow. And no one wants to take 5 applesauce packets in a row on a run.
No. I mean, I know, like I love adding them in right now and like changing it up, but I'm like, I can't do that many in a row anymore. So yeah. And it's not just using like sports nutrition products either. Like I've done a couple of posts on like other products you might already have around your house that you could use, or even some of your favorite candy, like the Nerd Clusters, which are super delicious. Like how many of those you would have to take to meet your needs for the long run.
Yes, I saw that post and I was like, oh, thanks for reminding me, like I can eat candy on a run. And like, I've done it before, but my problem is then I just eat it outside the run and it's hard to keep it only for running.
And then you go to run and you're like, I don't have any left right now.
I go to run and I'm like counting them out. And then when I'm at home, I'm just like handfuls. Like,
yes, that's definitely how it goes. And I think one thing nice about those type of options is they're typically less expensive. Like gels, sports nutrition products, they can add up real quick, especially when you're training for a long distance race. So if you get to a place where I know this fuel works really well for me, the sports nutrition product is great, I know exactly how I need to take it, if you want to play around, want to use some of those less expensive options, then you have that freedom to do it. But I wouldn't do it unless you plan to use that in your training or like while you're still figuring things out.
Gotcha. Okay. So, well, let's see. So do you recommend alternating what fuel you're using, like a variety of fuel, or like alternating maybe a gel and gummy bears or something like that?
It is going to be very dependent on the runner and what their preference is. So are you someone that needs a lot of variety and maybe the gel that you like, or the, I always say gel, I'm just so used to saying that, or the chew that you like, it doesn't have a lot of flavor options and you need that variety. Then it's like, yes, let's find those other options. Or if you're someone that's like, I don't want to think about it, I just want to take the same thing the whole time and I'm not going to get that flavor fatigue, then it's like, okay. So it's all about like figuring out what you want and what is going to get you to actually take the fuel.
Yeah, definitely. I think, not to call this brand out, but because they are great, but Honey Stinger Chews are like over $2 a serving, as you probably know. Mm-hmm. And that's like from Sam's Club. So it's probably even more than that in a running store. And then I got like the Trader Joe's chews. I don't know what they were called. And they were like pennies to the dollar. Like it was so less expensive. Are running chews glorified gummy bears basically? Or does it depend on the brand, or is it pretty much the same nutritional value just with a fancier label?
It can depend on the brand. And I think there's two big things to take note is that typically you want glucose and fructose. And if you are new to running, like you don't need to get caught up in that. So that could be something that the sports chew has, but maybe depending on the type of fruit snack, that might not be the case. Again, it can vary depending on brand and everything. And if it works for your body, do not get like super caught up. I feel like sometimes we complicate nutrition and fueling for the run so much. So don't get caught up in that. But that's one thing to consider. And then something else to consider is sodium. Is a lot of times the fruit snacks might not have a lot of sodium. So then it's not that they're a bad option, not that you can't use them. It's making sure you're now going to replace that sodium in another way.
Okay, gotcha. That makes more sense. So I could do like gummy bears and then add in like salt sticks or something if it's lacking that. Okay, that makes a lot more sense. Yes. When do you recommend, or do you recommend bringing in caffeinated gels, or is that just depend on the person?
Depends on the person. Sometimes the caffeinated gels can cause GI issues, just the nature of caffeine. So really depending on how it impacts you. And then I think it depends on how much caffeine it's providing. Like there are some products where it's 10 to 20 milligrams, which is that enough for you? Or there's Martin, which has a product with 100. So it's like a big, big difference between that. So it's about understanding how it impacts you. Typically, if a runner is going to use a caffeinated product, it's not going to be for every fuel. So if they're running a marathon, it might be like every third, or they might be very strategic of, I want to take it at mile 15 so that by the time it starts working, then it's going to help me push that last 10K or so.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I took two Martin 100 milligrams of caffeine during the marathon and I was like, woo. And then after the race.
Did you feel it from it?
Yeah. And I drink coffee before a run because I just can handle it. And I've trained my gut to handle it. And I wake up early enough to where I can handle it. And I just remember after the race, I was just like, what do we do next? Like my body's tired, but my brain is not. Yeah.
Your brain is wired. It's like ready for round two.
And then I couldn't nap after. Yeah. Pretty much. Is there like a certain amount of caffeine like intake that we should kind of like limit ourselves on? Because I was thinking about it. Like I took like over 300 milligrams of caffeine in like 5 hours that day.
I mean, it's nice for you that it was like spread out. It wasn't like, oh, I'm running a half marathon taking three gels and it's all within like 2 hours. Like that would probably be a lot. I think it's going to be very dependent on the person, like what you can handle. Are you someone that you do drink coffee, or maybe you have pop, like you have those caffeinated products, your body is used to it, or are you someone who is more sensitive to it than it might be like during a marathon, maybe only one or maybe just two.
Gotcha. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Okay. What are some of your favorite, you already mentioned one, but what are some of your favorite gels that or fuel that you recommend just off the bat? I'm just kind of curious.
Yes. So I am all about using whatever works best for you. Like, these are ones that I've just found enjoyable. So I really like the Crank Sports E-Gel, which I already mentioned. It almost has like a tart taste to it, which is very refreshing to me. And it's got a good amount of sodium, so I like that. I also really like the Huma. I tend to go with the Huma Plus version. Yeah, those are probably the two main gels that I do. I like the Bonk Breaker Chews. Those are, and I love the name. Like, it just makes me like kind of laugh whenever I see the name, and I'm like, it's so clever marketing with that name. So I like those chews. So yeah, those would probably be the three main ones. And then sometimes I like to add Sour Patch Kids in. And yeah, I'm training for an ultra, so I'm trying to go with some like more non-typical fuel options that you might not need or utilize during a marathon, but it's more accepted, I guess, during an ultra. So I'm kind of leaning into that and trying to have some fun with it too, to try new things.
Yeah, definitely. I know. I feel like when I see people train for ultras, it's like Oreos and like candy, and it's just like, that looks more fun than this gel.
Yes, definitely is.
Like, I like the gel, but Oreos or a gel.
So you're going to have to run an ultra now. That's going to have to be next for you, just for like the fun food that you can do during.
All the snacks, all the good snacks. That's funny. I know for me, some of my favorites are the Yucan Edge, the Honey Stinger Waffles, and then the Martin Caffeinated, like I said. I know with the Yucan Edge, and I'm curious your thoughts on this, I have really low blood sugar, and their marketing is that it balances, I hope I'm saying this correctly, it balances your glucose.
Yeah, they use it, they base it on a starch so that it's supposed to be more stabilized energy. You're not going to have like those lows that you might get from other fuel.
So if you're fueling every, let's say 20, 30 minutes though, are you really gonna like spike and crash? Like, is there enough time for that?
For some runners, yes. Okay. It depends on how fast their body is utilizing it. And even as we're approaching summer and some hot weather, your body's going to utilize glucose faster in the hot weather. So that's something to take into consideration too. Like, maybe in the spring you felt fine, but all of a sudden during the summer, you're like, my gosh, I feel like I'm crashing. And it's not, in a way it is the heat, but it's just your body utilizing it. So you might need to adjust based on that. And one thing about Yucan, and this isn't a bad thing, just something to note, like, yes, they have that starch, but the amount of carbs it's providing is a little bit on the lower side. It's like 19, I want to say. So it's thinking about how that impacts your body. Do you like that product, but you need a few more grams of carbs to really feel that energy? Then maybe add a couple chews to the side of it. And that could be a way that you're able to get a stable energy, but you're also getting maybe the carbs that your body's desiring.
Wow. I don't know why I didn't think that. I just thought every fuel had the same amount of carbs. I'm not even going to lie. I didn't even realize that it was that low of carbs. That's kind of mind blowing.
Yeah, I know, like, and there could be options lower, but I know like Yucan is that 7, I want to say 19, but I might be wrong.
Yeah.
And then like I tried a gel a month or two ago that was 50 grams. And so it is just like a huge, huge difference. That's why it's important to know the guidelines, figure out where within the guidelines or outside, like, your body needs to be fueled, to have the energy, and then figure out how frequently you need to take the fuel. I know some gels will be like, take every 30 to 60 minutes. Like, they'll say it right on the back. And it's like, okay, that's like a general guideline, but it's okay if you need to take it more frequently than that.
Yeah, definitely. And now that I even think about my training, it was take a Yucan and then drink Gatorade Endurance or Noon Endurance, which has the sodium and carbs.
Yeah.
Who knows how many? I just, I need to look, but that was something that I just processed. Like, oh, you know, that is another way that you can get in the carbs, the sodium, and maybe even sugar. I don't know.
Absolutely. I think one thing to be cautious about is if you're not carrying your own like endurance drink mix and you're like, okay, like they use Gatorade, I'm going to grab it from the aid station, is knowing that if your body is used to a certain amount, that I feel like usually the drink mixes are a little weak on race courses. So you might not be getting as much as you would if you were carrying it yourself. So to take that into consideration when you're making your race day plan and figuring out how much you need. And that can work for both carbs and the sodium amount too.
That's so, so smart. So awesome. Like, have that race plan and like under, I don't know, there's math involved, people, but it's not too bad. It's not too bad. And it's something that it's like, okay, now that we know this, we just need to practice it during our training. Mm-hmm. And then we can just execute it on race day. That makes sense. Let's talk about hitting a wall and how fueling can affect this. I'm curious your thoughts, because we all know, like, if we're hitting a wall for whatever distance, it could be because we went out too fast. It could be because of fueling. It could be because of a lot of different reasons. Mm-hmm. But one thing I hear all the time is that you're just not taking in enough calories or carbs. What are your thoughts on this?
Yes, it's 100% true. Like, it's one of those things about being a detective and figuring out, like, was my pacing off, or did I not take in the amount of fuel my body needed? And if it's the fuel, it's about, okay, like, if I'm on the race course and I'm hitting the ball, it's what else is an option? That's why studying the race course can be very beneficial. You might be like, okay, this is mile 15. I can take my gel early, and I know they're passing out bananas or oranges, or there's a spectator with something you can grab. It's like, okay, I can start to claw my way out of this by doing those things, but it's so much better to stay on top of fueling so you're not digging yourself in the hole, and then you're constantly still burning more calories, needing more carbs, and trying to make up for that and make up for what you didn't do earlier in the race.
Gotcha. So say I hit a wall, does that mean I should just start taking in more fuel, or I'm not fueling as frequently as I should? Or does it have more to do with calories that I'm taking in?
It's a little bit of both, because you might hear recommendations of you should be getting in this many calories, but most of your intake is going to be carbs and what your body needs. If you are doing an ultra event, then protein can come into play. But for marathon running, for most individuals, carbs is king and what you really need to focus on. So I would, yeah, focus on getting in what you can. Even let's say there wasn't any carbs being offered and it was only a protein option, that's probably going to do more than not doing anything at all, but trying to seek out carbs where you can.
Gotcha. Okay, that's super helpful. So we really don't need to pay too much attention to calories. If we're focusing on carbs, we're hitting the carb goal, the calories will come, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, perfect. What are some of your favorite ways to get in carbs and sodium with, like, a handheld?
So I will either use, I like the Tailwind product, mm-hmm. or I've tried recently on my last long run, I tried Crank Sports makes an e-fuel drink, and I tried that. And again, it's got that tart taste. I don't know what it is, but I'm, like, loving tartness on it. So that might be your cup of tea. It might not be your cup of tea, but something to try. So I really liked that. And that's a way to, like, get in both, like, the carbs, but you're also getting in sodium and hydration as well. So you're really, like, getting in a bunch of things with one option.
Yeah, that's so smart. And I know, like, too, obviously nothing new on race day. So even, like, looking and seeing what your race has on the course and practicing with that, seeing how much of that you need to take in, it can your stomach even digest it? Do you even like it? Mm-hmm. So many things to consider.
Yes. That's very important. And then if for some reason we'll say, like, your stomach feels a mess, like maybe you hit the wall and you're like, well, they're offering this drink mix that I wasn't planning on taking, like I didn't want to use it. And then it's kind of like weighing the benefits and the risk. Like, is it risky to try something new on race day? Yes. But is there potential that it could get you out of that hole? Could be that pick me up you need. So it's just weighing your options. If you do come across something new, and just know it could really help you, or it could end up being disastrous and your stomach hating you for trying it.
Yeah. And then just try a little bit at a time and see how you respond.
Mm-hmm.
You don't got to take in, like, you know, a water bottle of this drink mix, but maybe just sip on it and see how it goes.
Yes. And especially if, like, maybe you're, like, feeling a cramp coming on, is that you can actually, and it's like a sports drink or their version of what they're doing for a sports drink, you can actually take a sip of it and swish it around in your mouth, and you will have some absorption happening that way. So if you're like, oh, I don't want to actually swallow it, that could be a way to get in some of the electrolytes.
Wow, that's such a good tip. Oh my gosh. That's how I drink my drinks anyways, honestly, on the course, is because Amanda Brooks taught me that. Like, when you're drinking, you don't want to just take the cup back and inhale it and try to swallow it all at once, because then you're choking,
mm-hmm.
which learned the hard way. So you take the drink mix in and then you keep it in your mouth, but now you can swish it around, kind of like mouthwash, and then you swallow it. So that's such a good tip. I love that.
Yes, especially when they're cups and they're like so hard to navigate the way it is. So yeah, that's a great option for that, even just to take water into.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. Okay, so let's talk about the race is over. You're exhausted. You don't necessarily want to take in fuel, but you probably should. What are your guidelines for like timing of taking in fuel?
ASAP. So getting in fuel, hydration as soon as possible, even if you feel like you end the race or even a training run, maybe your stomach isn't feeling 100%. The worst thing you can do is continually delay the post-run fuel. That is something I used to do. I used to struggle with my stomach being really upset after long runs. And looking back, it's because I wasn't fueling during those long runs. So I've made all of those mistakes too. And now I know that a lot of times, even if your stomach's upset, if you can get some food in it, if you can get some like nutrition, it's going to help it feel better. It might not always be immediate, but delaying it, having that empty stomach is going to make things so much worse for you. And I feel like it's challenging on race day because there's so much excitement. Sometimes it feels like you have to walk another mile to even get to like the refreshment area, but it's starting as soon as you can, focusing on carbs, protein, hydration, even like sodium electrolytes to make sure that you're creating that equilibrium again with them.
So taking in electrolytes, could this be, and you said carbs, could this be just continuing on, like say you finish a long run, you're continuing with the electrolyte drink that you were drinking during the run, you can just keep drinking it after?
Yeah, you definitely could do that. You could also look at something like chocolate milk, I think is a great option because you're getting a good source of protein, you're getting carbs, you're getting your electrolytes, it's kind of getting everything for you. And sometimes after a long run, you might not be hungry. And during those times, it's like, I know I need to fuel, but I can't stunt. I feel like I can't like chew anything. Drinking your nutrition can be easier at that time. So that can be a really good option. There's also like Scratch makes like that recovery nutrition. You could go something along that route, making a smoothie, anything like that to kind of help you get in the nutrition sooner.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. I really love chocolate milk, even Fairlife chocolate milk where it has more protein. Like you don't even have to think about it because you're drinking it and you're probably thirsty after a run. I know I am. So are there like guidelines like for how much protein or carbs you should take in? Obviously it's going to depend on the run too.
Yes. Distance, intensity, all of those things can matter. And they have found that if you can get somewhere between a 3-4 ratio for every 3-4 grams of carbs, having 1 gram of protein can be that ideal recovery place to rebuild muscle, rebuild glycogen stores. But we also want to do a minimum of 15 grams of protein. And I want to say this with a big asterisk because I've had clients that get caught up in like, well, I couldn't do it because like it wasn't the perfect ratio. It didn't have like the 15 grams of carbs. It was only 8. And it's like, yes, it might not be perfect, but doing that is going to be way better for your body than completely skipping it because it wasn't perfect. So it's good to know like what those guidelines are and what you should aim for, but also thinking about what is available to me right now. Like, what can I actually get down right now? That's going to matter too.
Okay, gotcha. And then you take, say we take an electrolyte drink, we're taking in protein and carbs right after. What does the rest of the day look like? Because I know this is where it can get messy for me because it's like, oh, I'm hungry again.
Yeah.
Like I just ate. So is it something where you should be eating every 2 hours when you're hungry? Like, what do you recommend for that? Because I don't know. I know for me, it's like, why am I hungry again? Like, why is my stomach growling again? I just ate carbs and protein.
So it could also be thinking about if you did first go to like a glass of chocolate milk and you ran 15 miles, even with what you took in during the run, that chocolate milk, you're still in the negative. So it's like, okay, so I started with this, which was a really good step in the right direction, but I need to make sure I'm having a meal within 60, 90 minutes tops after finishing the run. I feel like that's where sometimes it can get a little haywire. Maybe you're busy off doing things. It gets pushed later and later, which can kind of like build up that hunger and like just feeling like nothing satisfies you. after initially focusing on carbs and protein, like those are going to be important nutrients to focus on the rest of the day. But you might find like adding in some more fat sources can help sustain you, help keep you fuller a little bit longer. And even to expect that it's normal to feel hungry every couple hours. So if you feel like it's only going every 2 hours, like that's okay. That's normal. And it's also normal for your appetite to be MIA the day of a long run. But then the next day, which might be a rest day, you are a bottomless pit. And it seems like no matter what you eat, you are not feeling satisfied. That's normal too. It's just from that delayed recovery or like your body's still working on recovery. And it's like, you might not have ate enough the day before because the hunger just wasn't there, or your needs are just really ramped up. And so just to like not second guess it, not be like, I need to eat less because I didn't run the long run like I did the day before. It's about my body is asking for this. If I want it to continue to perform for me, I need to give it what it needs.
Awesome. Thank you for calling me normal, first of all. But I'm happy to hear that because sometimes you just don't know. Like, you know, the running community is great, but a lot of the runs you're alone for before, during, and after, and you're just like, is this what I should be feeling? Like, it's hard to know, especially if you're new to fueling. So what would you say, like, we talked about pre, during, and post-run fuel. What would you say are like maybe a couple big mistakes you see runners making with any of those besides just not fueling?
I would say like not taking in enough fuel. So whether that's pre, during, or post, like I feel like not taking in enough. And then even with electrolytes too. And I feel like it gets really hard with electrolytes because like the range is anywhere from 300 to over 1,000 milligrams per hour. So it can be really tricky to be like, well, where am I? Like, how much do I need? And it can depend on the distance you're running and even the temperature. You know, if it's cloudy and 30s, you might not, your needs aren't going to feel as high. You still have needs. You're still sweating, even if you don't notice it, but running like the same distance in 90 degrees with 90% humidity, like there's going to be a big difference. And I think adapting can be challenging for runners as well.
Okay, gotcha. So you've talked about like a lot of different ranges and the word it depends a lot, which I know that all too well. I get it because it really does depend.
Yes.
No, I'm used to hearing that. So so when do you recommend getting like an individualized plan, like working with you, working with a dietitian?
I think if you feel like you're not sure where to start, it's feeling super overwhelming, or if you're someone that is like, you know, I've done okay, but I really want to take it to the next level and I want to be able to figure out exactly what I need, then I think it would be beneficial to get some help and support with that, whether it's a one-time session, whether it's, okay, let's work together for the next 3 to 4 months while you're gearing up for this race.
Awesome. Okay, perfect. Well, thank you so much, Amy. I really appreciate this. This is like so insightful, so helpful. I'm about to go read all the nutrition labels in my pantry.
I know.
Where can my listeners find you?
So you can find me on Instagram at the_running_dietitian.
Awesome. I will link that below. And thank you again. Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you for having me so much. And yeah, if you're listening to this, I hope you're not feeling overwhelmed and just take it step by step and adapt, listen to your body because you might have your plan, but then on race day, you might feel a little bit different. Your needs might feel different and don't just stick with the plan, adapt if needed. That'll be like my last message to leave you with.
I love that. Such good advice.